Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. There are two main doctrines or teachings in Scripture: the law and the gospel. If we do not begin to understand these two doctrines aright and learn how to distinguish one from the other, then we will hopelessly be lost as we try to understand what our Father has revealed to us through His holy word. For the law was written on the heart of man when God breathed His Spirit into him and gave him the breath of life. Adam and Eve dwelled in perfect harmony with God, as sin had not yet entered into them. They lived perfectly within His law, His will for us to do, and also within His promised rest. For His rest was built into the very creation itself. Work was not a burden for them, but a delight to their soul. It was only when Adam with Eve gazed upon the fruit, no longer trusting in God's word and promise to care for and provide for them, but instead seeking their own good, that rebellion and disobedience commingled with human flesh, causing all struggle, strife, and pain. Since then, the law has condemned us all. Though creation became corrupt through Adam's disobedience, God's rest was not lost. For the will of man cannot overcome the will of God. Instead, the promise of God's rest still stands. This is the gospel. But how do we obtain it? Lest we mingle and confuse law and gospel, we should pay very close attention to what the author of Hebrews is saying. First, he urges us to fear. But what are we to fear? Are we to fear the struggle and strife of this age? Are we to fear the toil and turmoil that this life brings? For we all live within this corrupted creation. We all know the sting of death, for it constantly surrounds us and presses in, threatening to overwhelm and devour us. Our prayers seem to go unheard as one thing befalls us after another. The breaking down of the machines and devices that we use for everyday life. The battling of an ailing body with one surgery or medication after another. The infestation, decay, or destruction of a home due to pests or the elements. The loss or lack of employment and the inability to put food on the table. The grief of losing a loved one. Life crumbles all around us, and we never seem to catch a break. It is easy to fear these things because they seek to rob us of the promised rest. Yet these things are not the things we are called to fear. Indeed, they come according to God's own wrath and judgment against this fallen world. But when we fear the effects of our sin, when we fear the punishment of it, our fear is not in the proper place. When we fear the effects and punishment of sin, we strive to overcome them. But the will of man cannot overcome the will of God. When we strive to overcome the effects of sin, it does not lead us to that promised rest. It only leads to more strife, because this is the mingling and confusion of the law and gospel. It was in the very desire to seek our own good in the first place that the rebellion and disobedience commingled with human flesh, unleashing the wrath of God upon all of us, according to his law. So when we strive to fill ourselves, we will never be satisfied. For everything we gain by the works of our hands will be consumed and destroyed, leaving us only with lack and wanting more. Even if we were to obtain the riches of the whole world and find comfort and security in this life, we would lose it all in death. This is vanity and a grievous evil. Instead, we are called upon to fear not the effects and punishment of sin, but the one who is the Lord and judge over all. For he alone can give us that promised rest, and it is in that rest that we strive to enter. But how then do we strive to enter that rest? What does this mean? Obviously, this can't mean that we strive by our own hand, lest we mingle and confuse law and gospel, believing that somehow we can reach out and take God's promised rest for ourselves. Instead, the author of Hebrews says we begin by fearing God. For in fearing God, we still ourselves to listen to what he says. We do not presume to know for ourselves or declare for ourselves what is good in our own eyes. We do not seek to justify ourselves or defend ourselves. Instead, we empty ourselves. We empty ourselves of our own striving, of our own pride, of our own thoughts, of our own desires. We empty ourselves and become naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account, and we allow his word and his law to pierce us through the heart. For he has already discerned our thoughts and our intentions. In striving to enter his rest, we stop striving. And instead, we confess our own sinfulness, our own inability, our own falling short of his glory to know him and to do his will. For only then, only when we are emptied of ourselves are we able to hear the clear voice and loud voice as he calls out to us through his Son. For what is impossible with man is possible with God alone. On our own, we have lived in disobedience, striving for what is good in our own eyes, striving for our own rest. But the voice of the Father calls out to us through his Son, teaching us the gospel, telling us that his rest is before us even now, if only we believe. For when we confess our sins and the need for our salvation, we stand naked and exposed to his eyes, yet he only sees the goodness of his Son, the one who was appointed from the foundation of the world to fulfill the law for you and for me and to suffer and die in our place. For his sake, you have been given freedom from the burdens and guilt of the law. The Father's rest was never lost in the fall because it was secured in Jesus Christ our Lord. And the will of man cannot overcome the will of God. And that rest is already here for you today. For we who believe enter that rest. And what is it that we believe? That Jesus Christ, our great high priest, has done it all for us. That through Christ alone, we have the kingdom of God and the eternal life as a promised gift. He alone is our rest. And as we believe in him, we enter that rest. And we are constantly being renewed and strengthened by Him as we receive the person and work of Christ in faith through His word and sacrament. Through the encouraging of one another, we share in Christ. And when we share in Christ, we no longer need to strive for our own rest, as we are refreshed and strengthened in Him. In Christ, then, we are able to eat and to drink and find enjoyment, even in the toil with which we toil under the sun, the few days that the Father has given us, accepting our lot for the joy that the Father has given in our heart, the gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our rest. So let us hold fast to that confession, guarding it according to the Father's word, which makes our way pure. And let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.